This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look.
We talked about the rush that the Democrats did during the formation of Obamacare. We've heard the quotes about Nancy Pelosi that we'll figure out what's in it after we pass it. In my neck of the woods, I represent a lot of middle-class, blue-collar workers. And what have those workers seen in the past 8 years? They saw their premiums rise. They saw their deductibles become catastrophic, $5,000, $6,000 per person, to the point where they could barely afford it. One person said that Obamacare was the craziest thing in the world. Do you remember who that was? That was former President Bill Clinton speaking at a Flint rally. And while you can claim that the goal of Obamacare was laudable, the bill has done very little to improve the lives of most Americans, and in numerous ways has made things worse. Let's go through some of those. I'll call it lie number one. Obama famously said, Michelle and I don't want anyone telling us who our family's doctor should be. No one should decide that for you either. Under our proposals, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, we all know that that backfired horrifically, as Republicans predicted it would. Insurance companies across the country limited access to doctors in order to keep their premiums down. Lie number two. Obama famously said, if you like your current plan, you'll be able to keep it. Let me repeat that. If you like your plan, you'll be able to keep it. Well, that backfired tremendously, as Republicans predicted it would, as hundreds of plans disappeared because they didn't meet the restrictions put forward by the Obamacare administration. According to MarketWatch, in 2016, many states have lost more than 80% of their insurers. Alabama went from 23 to 3. Arkansas went from 24 to 4, and Wyoming 21 to 1. New York lost almost half of its insurers, going from 28 to 15, a 46% decline. Many of the nation's biggest insurance providers have been forced to withdraw from the Obamacare market price after losing billions of dollars. This occurred in part because there have not been enough healthy people signing up for the insurance to counteract the cost of providing care for older, less healthy enrollees. And last lie, Obama famously said the Affordable Care Act will reduce annual premiums by $2,500 for a typical family. This might be the biggest lie of them all, as premiums have skyrocketed across the country. My friends, the co-ops have not been successful. Out of the 23 co-ops established under Obamacare, only 7 are running. The state's exchanges are bleeding insurers. The Obamacare enrollment numbers have not been up to par. They had hoped to insure 22 million people, but so far only 11 million have been insured. Premiums are projected to increase in 2017. The number of uninsured Americans is projected to increase as well. Healthcare spending has also increased under Obamacare, and most Americans that have had to deal with Obamacare have reported negative experiences on it.
Well, Tim, pretty lays it out from Jeff Stone, California State Senator, you know, the whole Obamacare issue. What I wonder, Scott, if people really understand how bad it is, and maybe those that do understand, maybe they're just, you know, they're not allowed to enter into the conversation and they're kept outside. And all you're hearing is this narrative, you know, kind of the scare tactics of the Democratic Party trying to save face over this deal, because they are the ones that delivered single-handedly. The Democratic Party, led by President Barack Obama, gave us Obamacare. This horrendous mess, and there is going to be a lot of hard work, and as there has already been, you know, for the Republicans, and dare I say, even those Democrats that would dare to come across the aisle to fix up the very mess that they created. Do they have the audacity? Do they have the courage? Do they have the conviction, the true conviction, to serve the people that voted for them, to help out to reconcile the healthcare system here in America? That's the question. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We got the Lolo Girl coming up next. Stay with us.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to start with the truth. The pursuit of it, no matter where it leads, that is the challenge, and especially in light of this rising influence of fake news and supposed journalists. I got to imagine if you are a journalist, that is your profession, the way it's being hijacked and attacked today has got to be a bit discouraging at times for people who are in it for all the right reasons. They nobly pursue their profession, but yet things that they may have been, taught in school or learned along the way from mentors, that say this is the way journalism should work. It's gotta be a real challenge. And they can only hope that, somewhere along the line it gets reconciled and that we can have, some better reporting. I mean, after all, this is what journalists are supposed to do, what the news reports are supposed to do, document history. So we look back, we know exactly, we have a better idea of what happened, so we're not repeating the errors of our ways, and here we are. You know, we're caught in the mess, and we find ourselves repeating those very errors. And she can square it away for us, because Lauren Kitchens just has that kind of perspective. She gives it to a straight national radio personality, college professor, motivational speaker, 25 years of experience in the media. One Lauren Kitchen Stewart with us. How you doing?
Morning. Hey. You know, most of all, I think for me, my perspective is I'm a mom. You know, I'm someone that's just wanting to know that our world is in a good place. Like, my husband is like you, Bill, and so many people. I mean, he is just so stuck on Twitter and Instagram and Fox News all the time. But I think like the average person, and I think what we're feeling at this time, most people that are healthy are going, are you kidding again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that people kind of just go, I don't know that it carries a lot of weight,
right,
unless it's someone that's already bent to think that way anyhow,
right,
unless it's already someone that's wanting to see something drug up about the president or Melania. For me, I get frustrated because, I said to my husband, years ago, decades ago, this would never have been allowed. What have we come to?
Right, exactly.
He's
well,
the president.
Robin and I are, like most guys, I mean, we're looking out over and we see danger and we start seeing the signs here. And so we're the watchmen on the wall that's seeing the danger encroaching more and more. And to me, this is why I talk about, the truth. I don't talk about truth. Like, some people talk about the truth like it's just another word. I mean, for me, it is the very core and foundation of any kind of successful system, a business, a country, a nation, a people. You've got to be bathed in the anchored and bathed in the truth. If not, then you have, you got modern day America. You got 21st century America right now. And this is why we're so far off track. And so many people say, hey, we're on the wrong track. I say, okay, you're kind of getting the idea here now. What does the right track look like?
Right. Well, and I think media, even going back to when I was a kid, has always been a little bit biased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even you go back to the Walter Cronkite days.
Yes,
I mean, you
right.
still see some of this that, it's always been there. But I think now it's just so glaring. And to come against someone that is president now, now if it's an election time, you expect to see these things rising up. But now that he's been elected, where does the respect come in? And where does, like I said, where does truth come in versus just wanting ratings and just tantalizing viewers with something that's nothing? And I don't know if it was Jimmy Fallon or someone said, you know, what are they going to watch today? Is it This Is Us or This Is Nothing?
Yes.
You know, I mean, This Is Us is the big TV show right now that's actually a really good show. Or This Is Nothing, because they were saying, Rachel Maddow saying, oh, I've got his tax returns. Well, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you hear that she said it was just like a drop of water to someone that was in a parched desert? I'm like, what? Why are people wanting to find something wrong with the man versus saying, you know, I want to believe the best in him. I want to pray for our president, you know, that he makes wise choices. And that he is somebody that cares about our country and cares about our people. It's like certain minds are just twisted. And I think I'm to the point, and I don't know if you all feel like me, I'm tired of trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to bury my head in the sand, but then I look at people that are just constantly trying to conjure things up and stir things up and cause problems and show disrespect. And I don't even know what to do with them anymore. Do any of you feel like me? I mean, I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, it is
whole liberal mind.
It is overwhelming and rather frustrating. But we need to be careful, though, Lauren, is that we do not find ourselves, you know, kicked to the back of the bus and told to be quiet. I mean, this is what happened.
Right.
This is what liberals did for many years. Ironically, you know, they told the church, hey, we don't need your morality. We you know, we want to do as we darn well please. So you just shut up and go along for the ride. We're in control here. Well, after several decades, many, many decades of the church being quiet, you know, the Gallup poll from last year has the everyday American complaining that the church, where's the compass of the church? Where's the more, you know, the voice of morality coming from the church? Well, you told the church to shut up. And thank God the church stood up and went to the polls on, you know, in November. Or this great American experiment, could you imagine Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid running the ship for another 4 to 8 years?
No, I can't. And I still have moments, and I've told you all this before, that I'll stop and go, thank you, Lord,
yes.
You know, that this man is president and that all the things he's done just in the first, you know, bit of time that he's been there. And, you know, they're calling it the first 100 days,
yes.
I mean, of what was accomplished. And I'm thankful, and I'm not forgetting that, and it does remind me that there is power in prayer and that people are, as a whole, thinking differently than what we're led to believe by looking at the liberal media and what they have to say. If what they were saying is true, Trump would not have won. Donald Trump would not have won the presidency. So it gives me some encouragement in my heart to know that there are people that believe like we do more than on the other side.
Well,
but I think you're right. We don't. We want to have an opinion, but Bill, people come to the point they have to stop and go, do I want this battle? We don't want to be politically correct, but the left has gotten so nasty that people on this side are stopping to go, do I want to take that on? Is
yeah, exactly.
The hill I want to die on?
Yeah. You can't even go and have dinner. Look what happened to Michael Savage. And you remember Michael Savage? I mean, he worked in the same building as you and me, and we were together in Los Angeles. And Michael's, 75 years old? He's just sitting there with his dog having dinner there in the area where he lives, and he gets accosted by, you know, some, you know, guy who's about 6'5", I think, or something, just beats the holy peewadden out of this guy.
Because, the man's 75 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so great. Well, wonderful. You know, you've just done an act of justice on behalf of we the people. You go and you beat up Michael Savage. Are you kidding me? I mean, because he supports Trump and he believes that Trump is the answer. And when you look, as you say, when you look at the initial acts that Donald Trump is doing on behalf of the country, I mean, he's opened up thousands of jobs potentially. The people
already
that are dreaming right now, look what's happening with the stock market. And I would say not only here in the United States, but around the world, that light on a shining hill is starting to shine even brighter now because of what Donald Trump is doing. And the progressives and those on the left and the media that are so anti-Trump and hate him are doing everything they can to squash the light and, dare I say, squash the enthusiasm and the dreams of the everyman, the forgotten man and woman here in this country, Lauren. I mean, this is disgusting. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Lauren Kitchen. Stay with us. This is Bill Martinez at 15 after the top of the hour.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance. For your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com. A team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, it certainly is nice to meet some of Ricky's friends after all these years.
Lucy quiere que le diga que está muy contenta de conocer a los amigos míos de Cuba después de tantos años de casado.
Ah, muchas gracias.
Did you have a nice boat trip up here?
Mommy, they're not hard of hearing, you know.
Bill Martinez.
Hey, here I am, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, spending some time with the Lola Girl, national radio personality, the one, the only, Lauren Kitchens Stewart. Hey, Lolo, we've got Beauty and the Beast coming out, huh? On today.
I know.
Today's St. Patrick's Day, by the way, the day after the day, you know. So
you better wear green or I'm going to pinch you today.
Yeah, oh joy.
Yeah.
Hey, can you still do that? I don't think you can do that in the office anymore. You have to maintain
the
special
decorum. You better know
special
the person
decorum.
Really well.
Exactly.
But, be careful.
Hey, yeah, without a doubt. But anyway, so we've got Beauty and the Beast, a lot of excitement. I mean, they're projecting something like $150-160 million domestically alone after this weekend for Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. And, you know, my kids have never really seen it. I mean, I don't even know if they've seen the older one. And I sing the songs around the house, and so they'll be thrilled to see it. But there's been a little bit of controversy. Just a little. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, it is. You know, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know how to respond to it.
Either.
But yes, and there's you know, some would say a little, some would say a lot of controversy bothered by it. But you know, because I remember when the movie first came out, I thought it was terrific. And then when they took it to the stage, I said, how are they going to duplicate the success of what I thought the movie was so terrific? You know, kind of like Lion King. You know, how do they translate it? But they did. They did a great job.
They did.
And now going to this next phase of taking what started out as, you know, as a produced presentation, animation, the way they did, and then on stage, and now with live actors, it's going to be an interesting transition. But, you know, hopefully, you know, some of the controversy, you know, I just kind of wince because, you know, people think of Disney, and I know that there are, you know, part of the culture of Disney is that it's all encompassing and accommodating. Mm-hmm. I've known this over the years, and I've just kind of chosen to say, okay, as long as it's not real overt, or there's something's there, you know, things that are there that open up conversations, and that we can do it in a constructive and reasonable manner, I'm for it. So I haven't seen it, so it's hard for me to comment.
Well, I tend not to be real hypersensitive about things that are alluded to, like, were they meaning this when they said that with their character? You know, where are they coming from? I don't really analyze it that much, and probably as a parent I should, but I'm more of a laid-back parent, where some parents are really more like, you know, I don't want my kids watching anything that could even infer. So we're all coming from different places, but, you know, maybe as a parent, Bill, I don't know what you think. Go see a film first before you take your kids.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, of course, you know, we do a lot with Bob Olszewski with Focus on the Family and Plugged In Department. He gives us a weekly review, and he gives us great insight. And of course, there's a great source. I mean, I have a nephew. He's 15 years old. He goes, I don't go see a movie unless I check Plugged In. I look for the review to see what I'm going to deal with. Well, good for you. That's awesome. That you are, you know, that aware, because unfortunately, you know, we can't, you know, when you and I were growing up, you could kind of believe when something was said it was G-rated or PG, and then we had to get to PG-13, you could pretty much rely on those ratings. Now, sometimes, they're a bit
suspect. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, go, how did
that happen? If it's hard, you better run. PG-13 is iffy. I mean, they will say curse words. We were talking about this the other day on public television. Like big curse words, not like little ones, and you're just going, and then your kids are asking what that is, and you're like, it's an ugly word, don't say it.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine if this had been going on back in the 50s and 60s? Holy smokes.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're all breaking down, you know, these moral barriers. I mean, you know, we were touching on just a moment ago, and the thought came to mind is that, you know, people are relinquishing and they're subordinating their moral compass to the media. If you're doing that, you're in serious trouble.
Right.
And really, the hope of America is that we get reconnected with a moral compass. You know, we've been trained for a long time, conditioned by a movement, and it's an age old movement. I mean, it keeps raising its head from time to time. Human beings that hey, look, you're not the boss of me, and I don't want God telling me what to do. Go, okay, well, let me tell you what. God created this deal. There are immutable laws. He says really clear, you know, if you do right, it'll go well with you. You know, it's been echoing through the millennia. Time and again, humanity, his creation, wants to test that. Well, how's that working out for you? You know?
And it comes down to, I think, and I don't know if you all agree with me, do you believe in the Word of God that is the inherent Word of God, or do you not? And I know that's a big statement to make, but it seems like as time moves forward, when it comes down to most issues, you're on the side of being politically correct, not wanting to hurt anybody's feelings, da-da-da, or this is what the Word of God says. His Word does not return void, so I'm going to stand by it, even in the face of adversity.
Right. Well, there's a... You're exactly right. There's a pastor here in Southern California, Jack Hibbs. You may remember him. And I was talking with a dear friend the other day who attends his church, and he's got a series. And it really brought to mind an interview that we did at NRB in Orlando a couple of weeks back. And the writer, his book was Who Told You You Were Naked? And it's really profound. And Jack Hibbs, not necessarily that he tied into that, but I could get the correlation, is Jack Hibbs said, who told you you were a Christian? You know, you think about that. I mean, who told you you were a Christian? You know, where is the basis of your conviction? You know, and
that's what it comes back to. That's the core of it.
Right. So if your conviction is the Holy Spirit, then you're going to fall on your sword and not aimlessly, but with a purpose, with a divine purpose. And this is, you know, like Esther, for a time such as this, Lauren, maybe you and I right now at this moment, for a time such as this, this topic is coming about because somebody in the family audience needs to hear this. They need to be encouraged, and they need to reconnect with their God-given destiny and purpose and truth and moral compass, because they've lost their way, because they got caught up in this culture. They got caught up in the things of entertainment that said, it's okay, you know, it's not that bad. The gray area of life, you know, you don't want to take on these problems. You know, you don't want to irritate anybody. We got to be politically correct. Well, let me tell you, you know, Jesus wasn't politically correct. Look what happened to him. And God has been a problem from day one. I mean, I think it's quite interesting. You and I were talking about this the other day. Is that it's a little bit easier. Don't you find it ironic? It's a little bit easier in a public to say Jesus, but you can't say Trump. You get Trump, you say Trump, you get your butt kicked.
Right.
If you support Trump. And you know, and I think I go, God, this is interesting. You know, we can say Jesus a little bit more freely and not offend as many people as you do when you say Donald Trump. Amazing. It's screwball-y.
But then this is a president that's talking about supporting Christians, talking about supporting evangelicals. His wife is citing, you know, the Lord's Prayer. His vice president is a strong, you know, believer. So, I mean, it's all kind of lumped in there together. But this is what we have to remember, is we got to use wisdom. We got to use wisdom in every conversation that we have. But at the end of the day, his word does not return void.
Exactly.
And Jesus did love. I mean, he was a loving, compassionate God. And that's the bottom line. If we stand for what he stands for, we will be pleasing. But we're not going to be liked. And if it comes down to wanting to be liked and wanting to fit in, those days are long over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's really clear. And we can be thankful for the opposition right now. And it's as if evil is realizing, you know, that it's in its final hours and its last grasp of breath. And it is not, you know, it's going down fighting.
It's
isn't
not pretty.
It?
Yeah, it's
exactly,
not pretty.
Without a doubt. Oh, but then it would go well with you. This is our hope and prayer. And God himself said, if you do right, will it not go well for you? Something to think about. Lauren Kitchen's with us. Lauren Kitchen Stewart. Thank you, Lolo.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself, too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Happy St. Patty's Day to you. Hope it's all going well. You're enjoying your day, enjoying everything that is green. Well, let me tell you, the expert editors at Kelley Blue Book are providing a great service for us. Yeah, yes, Kelley Blue Book, the vehicle valuation information source, trusted and relied upon by both consumers and the automotive industry, recently named the 12 best family cars of 2017. After extensive testing and evaluation with a keen focus on safety, value, reputation, driving manners, comfort, and convenience, cargo versatility technology, and fit of various rear-facing and forward-facing child safety car seats, the KelleyBlueBook.com editors recommend their choices for a diverse group of new vehicles that best meet the needs of today's family. And here to tell us about it is Jack Nerad. Jack is the executive editorial director and executive market analyst for Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. Jack, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I am terrific. Great to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about this. I mean, what motivated you to do, you know, to do this survey? I mean, it's a great idea.
Well, we've been doing this for several years now. It's one of our most popular features, and you can kind of figure out why. Pretty much everybody has a family, right?
Right, yeah.
So picking out the best vehicles for the family, and, you know, that's a pretty arduous, vexing task to a lot of people is, geez, what should I get for my family? So we try to sort it out for them and sort out from among all the vehicles out there what the top 12 are.
Right. Well, you've got all these vehicles, and then you've got the criteria, you know, putting yourself in the family's shoes and what would concern them the most. And, of course, you've been doing this a little bit, so you've got a pretty good idea to begin with. Any surprises out of this list?
Well, I think the biggest surprise is there's no sedan on the list. And we did test some sedans, and we obviously look at family sedans. In fact, we have a top 10 list of family sedans on our website. But we decided this year that, you know, looking at the way the market is going, what consumers are looking at, what consumers are buying for their families, that crossovers, SUVs, and minivans were what pretty much everybody is buying for their family. So we concentrated in those vehicles for the list.
Yeah. So minivans are still in.
They are. They had a bit of a downtime. I remember when people said SUVs were going away, then they said minivans were going away. Well, it turns out neither is going away. And that's because of versatility.
Right.
And that's because they work for so many people. And Chrysler has a brand new minivan in the market, the Chrysler Pacifica, which made our list.
Mm-hmm.
The Honda Odyssey is a perennial favorite, and that's about to be renewed. There's going to be an all-new Odyssey very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota Sienna is on the list, for people who really crave that incredible longevity and reliability that comes with a Toyota vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And Kia Sedona is also on our list, probably the budget buy among this group of four really good and really interesting minivans that are different from one another, but still do the same job.
Right. Well, you know, there's a practical side to minivans. I mean, it may have lost a little bit of its it factor, you know, cool because it was cool there for a while to have a minivan. And soccer moms loved it, because of its practical applications. It, you know, it was awesome. But then all of a sudden it just lost some coolness. But, I think that practicality is winning over the cool factor, maybe.
Yeah, and I think they're better looking than ever before, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anybody is going to, pick out the minivan as their dream vehicle forever and ever.
Right.
But I think they're much better looking than they used to be. And, you know, just the amount of features that they pack inside and how easy it can make having a family and going on that family vacation trip. There's just a ton to like about minivans these days.
Yeah, the technology. I mean, before it was such a pain. I mean, a good idea. They said, okay, wouldn't it be nice to have a van and then we could open up some space and you fold the seats and do all that. And it was okay. But then the technology has advanced to where not only you fold the seats, you hide the seats inside the body. I mean, it is, and with an ease of a button, I mean, it's much more functional than ever before. So I've had to rent a couple of minivans recently. I've been really impressed with the functionality.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, better than ever before.
Okay, we touched a little bit on this, but let's expand a little bit more, if we could, Jack, on the other vehicles that made the list. Yeah, we talked a little bit about sedans, and certainly we've hit on minivans, but what other vehicles made?
Well, there are the least expensive are the two-row SUVs, the Honda CR-V, the Subaru Outback, the Kia Sportage, and the Honda HR-V. These are the smallest vehicles on the list. Some are a little smaller than others. The HR-V is smaller than the CR-V, for example. But for that younger family, that starter family, family with maybe an infant or two or some toddlers and younger kids, these are terrific vehicles, very, very economical to both buy and own. Good fuel economy, and these are vehicles that are really screwed together well, so their reliability is strong.
Well, price point wise, what are we looking at when you say affordability? Are we talking about low 20s?
We're talking about starting around $20,000, and then I think you can get a very well equipped version of each of these for $25,000 to $27,000. The HR-V actually starts, I think, right under $20,000. It's probably the least expensive on this list.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But, that's pretty darn affordable in today's context.
Yeah. Exactly.
$20,000 would buy you one really expensive vehicle.
Right, exactly.
And then there are the three-row SUVs. These are familiar names. The Chevrolet Tahoe is the largest on the list, and, the traditional separate body on frame, truck-based SUV.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others are essentially crossovers, the Nissan Pathfinder, the Honda Pilot, and the Toyota Highlander. Those three are very competitive against one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three flavors there because there are features about each of them that will either turn you on or turn you off, and they're all highly reliable, highly safe, and highly versatile. So we figure they all deserve to be on the list.
Yeah, speaking of those issues, I mean, you think, well, here's a family car, they're all pretty consistent, but marketeers and automotive engineers they're down in the nitty-gritty. They're looking at the nuances to say, okay, we understand our demographic, and we're going to target this specific group of people that want this kind of functionality. We, understanding it may turn off others. It may not be their rhyme for a reason, but for this particular group. So explain, if you would, those three divergent ideas.
Well, you're absolutely spot on because, you know, each of these vehicles has a different personality. And I would say the Honda Pilot really has that Honda kind of all-around goodness, but not necessarily any one thing that you would point to as this is the strongest thing about that. I think the strongest thing about the Pilot is it's all-around, you know, reliability and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
With the Toyota Highlander, you have, I think, a nicely styled vehicle inside and out that also has this, you know, remarkable longevity that Toyota brings to the party. I mean, I would say that a typical Highlander could easily go 150,000 to 200,000 miles without even major difficulties. Mm-hmm. And then the Nissan Pathfinder is probably the sportiest amongst these. And maybe the most off-road oriented, although none of them really are all that off-road these mm-hmm. days. They're
right.
They're more designed to be very capable on-road with some four-wheel drive capability for driveways, snow, things like that.
Uh-huh. Jack, one final question. You know, when it comes to test driving a family vehicle, what do you recommend?
Well, I recommend taking your family. You know,
yeah.
Get the kids in the right,
right.
seats, the seats that they will occupy, you know, going forward. You know, check out all the equipment. Have the salesperson explain to you how to pair your phone and do all those things that need to be done. But, you know, use it as a family vehicle. Take a drive around. See how the kids like the third row, if they're going to be back there. You know, see
yeah.
if they can live with that.
Right.
And I think that'll help out a lot.
Yeah, bring some crackers and crunch them up in the seat real good. Just see how that works, you know. Just
yeah.
might as well.
Right
hey,
away.
Test drive everything. Why not? Where can they go for more information, Jack? 10 seconds here.
I'd love to have them go to KBB.com, Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com.
Jack Nerad, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are significantly more optimistic than their non-Hispanic peers about revenue and hiring in the year ahead. According to the Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight, 54% plan to hire in 2017, and 71% expect their revenue to increase, more than 20 percentage points higher than their non-Hispanic counterparts. The survey also reveals the critical role of family, with 63% of Hispanic entrepreneurs reporting that family members help run their business. Elizabeth Romero, Bank of America Small Business Executive.
Hispanic small businesses play a critical role in driving local economies and job growth. And the incredible optimism toward revenue and hiring shows great promise to continue this trend in 2017. Perhaps contributing to the higher optimism is a strong role that family plays, with close to half of Hispanic business owners reporting intentions to pass on their business to a loved one.
For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-bees. Don't do this, don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Hey, it's your choice. You know, you can make it any kind of day you want, whether it's St. Paddy's Day, the day after, or whatever. Given the choice, make it the best that it can be for yourself. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Been looking forward to talking with Joel Rosenberg. We get a chance to talk to him. It seems like once a year. I could talk to him almost, you know, every month at least. Whether we're talking Israel, we're talking about geopolitics, but we're honored to have Joel with us now. He's a New York Times best-selling author of both fiction and nonfiction books. He's become known for predicting coming events in his fiction books, including a 9/11 style attack. He predicted a plane would fly into a building, of course, in Denver. But nonetheless, he brought it out in story. He's a former writer for Rush Limbaugh, former campaign manager for Steve Forbes, and a dual citizen in U.S. and Israel. And we're going to talk about his brand new book. Joel Rosenberg, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Great to be with you.
Well, we got another page turner that you've turned out. And this is without warning. This is the third. And as we were talking before we went on the air, this is the third in the trilogy. And I wonder, because when you're living with a trilogy for as long as you have, how do you just stop? I could almost see this thing. I mean, to me, it's like a snowball has a life of its own, but then all good things must come to an end, right?
Well, when you're writing a thriller series, a lot of that is instinctual. You're trying to build a character, you're trying to build a scenario, trying to take people on a journey, and one book doesn't feel like enough. Mm-hmm. But the question is, do you sustain that, sort of forever and indefinitely, or does it need to have an arc where it has a sort of beginning, middle, and end? And in this one, when I began Without Warning, the third, obviously, in the series, I wasn't sure when I began. I knew how I wanted to end, but I didn't know if that was the end or not. And and that's what I wound up with. But Without Warning is about ISIS. It's about, the whole series. I started writing this series, researching it and writing it in 2013. Mm-hmm. The first book in the series came out in 2014. That was called, The Third Target. Actually, it came out just at the beginning of 15, but it was sort of ready to go at the end of 14. Well, you got to remember that if you got a novel about ISIS attacking Israel, attacking Jordan, attacking the United States, now that seems like, well, of course you're writing a thriller about ISIS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when I did, no one had even heard of it. When I was starting the series, Bill, no one had ever heard of ISIS. And in fact, while I was writing it, President Obama famously said, oh, ISIS, that's not a big threat. That's just a JV team.
JV team, right, right.
But I had been meeting with two former CIA directors and the former head of Israeli intelligence, the Mossad. And they were telling me, no, Al-Qaeda in Iraq is turning into something new called the Islamic State in Iraq. Then it was the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Then it became the Islamic State, just that. They were convinced that this something was moving and that I should sort of focus on that. And my goodness, they were right. So you know, when you write about evil, you think, how long do I want to write about this?
Exactly, yeah.
pretty grim.
If it has to affect you psychologically, man, like the last time we talked about in the second book, you said, Bill, it's not all bad news. There is some hope in there, you know. And,
yeah, right. Well,
you know, as there isn't without warning.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Joel.
You finish. Your turn. You know,
I think we're both excited about this. But, you know, I think we're encouraged to, again, be reminded that good will win over evil.
It will. I'm encouraged in part, not just through what I'm writing about, but what worried me most over the last few years was not the Islamic State. It was a sense in our government in Washington that we weren't really taking it so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of not calling the threat radical Islamic terrorism, like President Obama absolutely would not under any circumstances call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, how do you defeat an enemy that you refuse to define?
Exactly.
Now, let me be clear. As I depict in these series, including Without Warning, we're not at war with the religion of Islam. The vast majority of Muslims, 90%, they're not our enemy. But there is this subset, and the polling worldwide of Muslims shows that between 7 and 10% of Muslims worldwide will actually tell pollsters that they support the violence of the Islamic State. Mm-hmm. They support suicide bombings against innocent civilians. This is radicalism. Now, it doesn't mean the 7 to 10% of Muslims will actually engage in violence. It means this is the pool that ideologically agree with using violence, and that's the pool from which the radical groups like ISIS and terror states like Iran will recruit, will raise money, right? So this is a serious threat, because you can say definitely the vast majority of Muslims are not a threat. That's true. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yeah, but the ones that come here in the United States are. Yeah, they say they can, you know, practice their religion much freer here in the United States than they can in Muslim-dominated countries.
Well, that's true. That's true. And so it's true that if 10%, even 1 in 10 Muslims worldwide support violence against the United States, against Israel, whatever, well, that's 160 million people in a world of 1.6 billion, right? That's
exactly
half the population of the United States. So this is a threat. And when the previous president wouldn't even describe it, wouldn't define it, that worried me. He took half measures against ISIS. And we saw an explosion of terrorism, not only in the Middle East, but in San Bernardino, in Orlando, in Philadelphia, as well as Belgium and Paris and Istanbul. But now we have a president who seems to be willing and eager to not only define the threat, but to go on offense. And so
exactly.
I'm not saying this is a president who's doing everything right in every area. In fact, he could use a little less Twitter time to me, but that's just me. But he is serious about defeating ISIS, and he's pulled in an excellent team in James Mattis at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
I know personally Mike Pence, who's, of course, now the vice president. He's a fan of these books. In fact, I brought the vice president two advanced copies of this a few weeks ago when I met with him in the West Wing. You know, Mike Pompeo at CIA is a friend both of the novels and me personally. Dan Coates as director of national intelligence.
These finally approved. Thank
guys.
God. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank God.
Right.
Imagine not approving a director of national intelligence until 50 some days into a new administration. But these are serious players,
and they're serious about winning. They understand the threat. They're going to be careful, I believe, not to, you know, impugn all Muslims. They don't, you know, this is not a problem, all Muslims. But defining the threat and going after it hard is critical. Otherwise, the scenario that I write about in Without Warning could come true, where ISIS penetrates inside the American homeland and strikes with catastrophic attacks, not just in Washington and New York, but all over the country.
Exactly.
And on the same day. That's what we have to prevent.
Well, you know, the reality is you've got 1,000 investigations involving every state of the union right now with terrorist activity or potential terrorist activity. So to your point, is there that powder keg in position that could be exploded in a one-day event?
Well, I hope not, but I think we have to assume operationally, tactically, that ISIS is both radicalizing, recruiting, and trying to influence people to come inside the homeland to attack us. That they said they want to do it. That, you know, they're open in terms of their intent. They're calling on attacks inside the United States. And I was just meeting last week in Washington. I'm in New York right now, but in Washington, I met with the Homeland Security Committee chairman in the House, Congressman McCall. Mm-hmm. And I gave him an advanced copy of Without Warning. And I said, you know, Congressman, you know, I just make this stuff up for a living, but your job is to make sure this doesn't happen.
Exactly. Right. Right.
So I gave him a little briefing on the book, just a sense of it. And on a new poll that we just are releasing this week about how Americans see the threat from ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gave me a briefing on, you know, where are we? What's the latest in terms of the threat? And you just mentioned one of those points. But there are over 1,000 FBI active investigations into people that they are concerned are trying to foment ISIS plots. Last year alone, Bill, 36 people were arrested in the United States on ISIS-related plots. Wow. 36. That's
yes.
Three a month. Now, mm-hmm. Thank God they were arrested and they didn't do what they intended to do or allegedly intended to do. But that's the point. If mm-hmm. you've got three people a month being arrested, what if one slips through? What if we take our eye off the ball? That's
all it's going to take. Yeah, without a doubt. Joel, my recommendation is we need to get your book in the hands of these activist judges that think somehow
yes.
the threat is not clear and present, right?
That's a great point. I'm going to tweet that point out.
Okay. My gift to you, I'll tell you, you are a gift.
That's
Joel
genius.
Rosenberg. I really appreciate your gift and your willingness and courage to share it so openly with all of us. Congratulations again on the book Without Warning. And I'm going to look forward to seeing it in the hands of some activist judges. I can see that already. Joel Rosenberg on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Joel.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.